The first sports talk show for your sports weekend. The fastest 60 minutes in sports. It's the League Sports Talk Show on 94.9 The Fan and The Fan app.
Oh, good morning out there, Nashville, Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, all throughout, whoever's listening anywhere on those earbuds for that morning walk with the dog or just having breakfast out there. It is Memorial Weekend, and we would be amiss if we did not memorialize and remember those who lost their lives protecting our freedoms here in this country. And I was in the United States Air Force, and my dad, 30 years cruising around the skies in B-52s. And I just want to thank everybody out there for serving. And also, we also need to remember those that lost their lives to protect our freedoms here. And many, many athletes that actually lost their lives. You know, more recent would be Pat Tillman, but there's others that we don't think about a lot that fought in Afghanistan and the Iraq War that were athletes in high school or had college aspirations and chose to go fight for our country in other areas of the world and to continue to protect our freedoms or help others throughout the world, and they lost their lives as well. So we remember those today. We remember them throughout the weekend, and we just thank you out there. And I want to just say good morning to our guys here in the house. That is Sedge. How you doing this morning, Sedge?
I'm doing absolutely, unequivocally fantastic today.
That's good.
I have to get a shout out. I have to give a birthday shout out to my mother, Yvonne Lloyd, and my sister, Jocelyn Lloyd. And welcome to Nashville, Jocelyn. They all came down.
Wow.
Celebrate my mother's
94th birthday. 94 years old.
Wow. 94. Awesome.
94.
Yes.
There we go. A big cheer from the crowd.
Yeah. And then
we've got the encyclopedia of sports that is the Tennessee State Tigers. And there
good
he
morning,
is in the
good
house.
Morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing over there today?
I'm doing pretty good. Be sitting next to somebody from Vanderbilt.
We'll get to that. We do have a very special guest. Again, this is sponsored by Nashville Toyota North, and you can come see me in about an hour over there if you want to come pick up a car on Memorial Weekend here. We got vehicles, and I got sports license plate frames to give you for free from the coach. I am the coach, and this is the League Sports Talk Show. We are the first responders to sports, the first show in the morning here to kick off your sports weekend. I'm excited to also let you know we have someone in the house this morning.
Yes.
We've missed him. He's been in commercials on this station on 94.9 The Fan, and that is Corey Harris, Vanderbilt,
yes.
12 years in the NFL. And drafted by the Houston Oilers. Yes. Welcome, Corey, to the show. How are we doing over there, Corey? Vandy Commodores.
I'm doing great, man. Great to be alive. Great to be here with you guys, be back with you again. I also like to send a birthday shout out. My sister, who I think she turned 65
2 days ago,
and my dad just turned
Jewel, right?
89.
Jewel is my surrogate sister. Jewel became a sister when I came to Nashville. My sister, Cheryl.
Okay.
Cheryl Woodard, and my dad, George Harris. I love y'all. I know y'all won't be listening, but I'll send y'all this after the show.
I like the shout-outs. I like
happy
the shout-outs.
They listen to the podcast.
That's right. I like it. They listen to it. Yeah, you can. After this, you can listen to it on Spotify. Make sure you do that. Check out our website on Facebook, too. Not website, but check out our Facebook page, which is the League Sports Talk Show. Corey, I actually received photos. I have a friend of mine that works for Rydell, and he was out and about, and he was out here in Nashville, and he showed pictures from his hotel room overlooking the Vanderbilt Stadium. And I don't know if you've seen it lately or got it. Have you had a chance to see the renovations that you're doing out there downtown?
Yeah, actually, I've been interacting with Coach Lee and his whole staff the last couple of months in helping build the program. I have a strong interest in that. I'm finally excited that we have a Commodore leading the Commodores.
Like
so
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about what Candace Story Lee is doing and that whole athletic department with our program. So it's going to be amazing. I had the opportunity to see some of the images on the screens that they have throughout mm-hmm. McGugan, and man, it's going to be an awesome place.
Yeah, I was by there the last week and noticed that they're doing some renovation of the stadium too.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, they're tearing the whole one end apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the one end that is near McGugan, I can't even remember what street it is on the entrance side of the stadium. Mm-hmm. You're not going to even be able to drive down that street. And then the other end towards the Marriott,
right.
I think the basketball stadium will have offices and stuff from there, so you'll be able to see. It's gonna be awesome, man.
Well, I mean, I'd like to you know, I know I'm a West Coast homer out here, but making Nashville my home in Tennessee, my state, after leaving Southern California and leaving San Diego, I'm a fan, and I'm excited to see what they're gonna do. And you know, their basketball program turned around a little bit this year, not a little bit, a lot, with Jerry Stackhouse and winning Coach of the Year. So it's exciting to see things going on down there at Vanderbilt. And I am rooting for the Commodores will be. And I still have my West Coast bias, though. So I got to tell you something. There's, you know what? Since I moved here, there's really two things that I don't like about Tennessee. And I'll tell you the two things, okay? One is associated with food, okay? And the other is, man, I cough every day. I got allergies. Deep from with Corey. I'm talking deep from within my toes. They fly up to my nose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You could not have allergies. Be in California for a couple years. Be out there at that sun and that ocean and be cleared up and come back here and your eyes are swell up like marbles.
I mean, there's been days where I thought I was crying and I wasn't. I mean, I'm like, man, am I crying about something?
That's part of the welcome package.
A box of Claritin, lifelong supply of Claritin, the second thing associated with food. Listen to me. I don't know what you guys out there in the sports world and beyond, but fried bologna just don't cut it with me. I go with the way my mama made it, and it was two slices of white bread and two slices of bologna, not fried, and a slice of American cheese and some mustard. And that's the way you eat a bologna sandwich, people. You do not deep fry that son of a gun.
When you working on pennies throughout the week, you talking about neighborhood steak, baby.
Hey, Corey, cut that little slit in, let it bubble up.
It's got to be burned on the end.
Well, to each his own. But the first time I tried one, I think I gave it to somebody else to finish up for me. But hey, I'm glad to have you here, Corey. And our show has been very successful so far. We've had some great guests here, especially including today, the last 3 weeks. And we're moving forward. We got a lot to talk about with. We got the NBA we're going to have some fun with. We got Titan OTAs, NFL OTAs. We got all that coming up. And we've got, I don't want to forget to mention, boy, the Florida Panthers now are in the Stanley Cup Finals. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing to see after they beat Boston number one seed with the most points, best record ever in the history of NHL. Florida Panthers come back, and now they're in the finals. Getting ready to play either Vegas or the Dallas Stars, probably going to be Vegas. And let me ask you something. This is a sidebar note, but boy, I was thinking about it this morning driving in. When did it all of a sudden transpire that Las Vegas now is home for now all these major sports teams? An example, now the Oakland A's are moving there. The Raiders have moved in there. I mean, when did all that change?
I'd say about a couple years ago.
When gambling became acceptable.
Exactly. That's true. Multi-billion-dollar industry. Yeah.
And when the Raiders packed up, and you got to realize, this is not the first time just recently that they tickered with being a sports city. They've always been on the cusp when an owner was not happy with the situation.
Right.
And they always would throw it out there.
I think we're going to Nevada.
When the Raiders came, and then the hockey team came, and that – they love them. I mean, if you go to Vegas, they support those teams. So I don't blame Oakland. I don't blame them.
God, I struggle a little bit with this. I didn't even plan on talking about this, but we're here now, so we might as well. By the way, hockey fans and really sports fans, if you have not seen
the
intro show for when the Golden Knights are coming out and getting introduced, you need to watch it. It's crazy. I mean, it's like a full production and everything. But, you know, I struggle with this. You know, I've been a San Diego Charger fan, now Los Angeles Chargers. I struggle to say that for a long, long time. And, you know, think about the teams that are moving places in the state of California, number one. That was the Chargers being moved up to Los Angeles. Why? Right. Because San Diego wouldn't build them a stadium. Right. Okay. Why is Oakland moving? Because they've got couldn't build a stadium for the Oakland A's, and they're the worst team in baseball now.
The Warriors moved too,
and the Warriors moved as well. And now, you know, the move of the A's over there to Vegas. I mean, who knows what their nickname's going to be? I don't know. The Aces, the Oakland Las Vegas Aces. I don't know. God, who knows? But you know, are we far away? As we're getting ready to talk about the NBA, Corey, are we far away from? I know you like basketball as well. Are we far away from an NBA team being put into Vegas?
Well, I think we have to keep it all in perspective from this standpoint. It's all about the money.
Exactly.
So, you know, you follow the money, you get a bead on what's really going to happen. Again, I think as soon as gambling pretty much became universal, mm-hmm. I think all bets were off, no pun intended.
No.
Right.
But the opportunity to move to a city like Las Vegas, and now the Vegas of the South, Nashville,
right.
Considering baseball and all these things, you're talking about cities that the tourist dollar is major and strong, and the business of sports entertainment, mm-hmm. which is what it is booming. And so the NFL will do whatever it needs to do to stay on top of that in America, but I think it'll be a few short years before the world's football overtakes the NFL.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but you know, kudos to probably everybody involved there, the governor of Nevada and the mayor of Vegas and what they've done and what they're doing. What you got, Randall?
And think about it. They're hosting summer leagues.
Yeah.
In Vegas.
And I think that's their way of, you know, getting the feel to see what the interest would be. And if you get interest, of course, one team gets unhappy, of course, they're going, hey, we can be your stadium, we can be your arena.
It is, yeah. Well, and I mean, the summer leagues out there, the NBA summer leagues, yeah, I mean, they've turned it into it's a whole tournament.
Yes.
I mean, they name a champion. You know, Lakers won it a few years ago.
And as a tourist city, you're going to have people from everywhere. So, like, every season, you're going to have, you know, a percentage of people that are like, oh, we're going to be in the city doing that. Let's go see a Titans game. I'm not even a Titans fan necessarily.
You're
in the city. Like, you're planning, I'm going to go. So, you know, I think Nashville has moved its way up.
It has. Listen, I'm coming from a very diverse background. I've lived just about everywhere in the country. I've been to Europe. I've been overseas. I've been to other places. And I said this weeks ago when we started the show, Nashville is it for me. Mm-hmm. It's to me, it doesn't have the gambling that Vegas does, but it's on par with Vegas, mm-hmm. and Nashville is beyond an up and comer. We're not even going to say that. I really want to I want to see Nashville get a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got the Sounds, which, you know, they put on a tremendous show out there, and actually this network 94.9 that we're on, you know, they broadcast all the games. I listen to them, but you know, it's amazing. To see what's going on in Nashville, you know, new stadium here on the horizon. And, boy, I'm excited about it. And, you know, talking about NBA basketball, you know, we are hot. I found myself, guys, the other night in a little bit of a sports lull. I kind of, you know, you've got everything rolling, right, through mm-hmm. the beginning of the year and the national championship, and then you got March Madness, and then you got the draft, and then you got – you know, the NBA playoffs, you know, everything going on. And then all of a sudden the other night I get home, I think it was Wednesday night. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was nothing on.
It wasn't.
You know, my Lakers.
Absolutely.
And with
absolutely
all due respect to college baseball is going on, I understand that. Vandy won last night and eliminated Alabama to move on to the next round, so that was good to see. But I found myself in a little bit of lull the other night. I turned on the TV, so I watched – a very interesting replay of a football game on NFL Network. And check this out, Corey. It was the 2004 Indianapolis Colts at home against my San Diego Chargers. And of course, I'm watching it because of the Chargers. But then as I started watching it, there were, and I know we were supposed to talk about the NBA. I'm all over the place. We're just going to have some fun today because Corey's in the house. You do this, Corey. This is Corey's fault.
Yeah, it is.
Corey's fault. Watching this. Hey, the records that were being broken in that one game were unbelievable. I'm going to tell you, the Indianapolis Colts had Reggie Wayne, Brandon Stokley, and Marvin Harrison as their wide receivers, Edgerrin James as the running back, and Peyton Manning, of course, as the quarterback. And in that particular game, he was two touchdowns away from breaking Dan Marino's record for touchdowns in a season, which at that time was 48. So I'm like, wow, when's that gonna? I didn't remember the game, right? I mean, that's long. That's, you know, 100 years ago to me, right?
Right.
And then the other record that was being broken was the young Antonio Gates was getting ready to break the single season touchdown records for the most touchdowns by a tight end, which he broke that on a shovel pass from Drew Brees, was a quarterback of the Chargers.
Yep.
I'm tripping. Wow. I'm tripping watching all these guys.
The Wayback Machine.
The Wayback. I'm like, I'm spun, man. I'm watching it. So I was in a lull, so I got that. But then I started moving forward to the NBA playoffs, and what I think is something I didn't think was going to happen in the East. I mean, you've got Miami and Jimmy Buckets just dominating every game and even finding ways to win, and really not with a thick roster because they got a lot of guys that are injured and have been out throughout this Eastern Conference final.
Tyler Hero.
Hero, and then, I mean, a couple other guys are out, and, you know, I'm watching it, and Miami goes up 3-0, okay? And then,
it changes.
It changes. Boston comes back, and Boston starts playing ball, and Tatum and Brown start balling, and now what we've got, guys, is a Boston team that has every bit of momentum and a Miami team that it looks like somebody – you know, you got a big, fat, thick balloon that's all blown up nice, and then it looks like somebody just put a little tiny needle in it and sucked the life out of them, and they just don't look the same, do they?
No. Good analogies, Coach, because it's like boxing. First three rounds, you come out.
Yeah.
You forgot it's a 12-round fight. So I think what's happening now, the momentum's gone with Boston. And I picked Boston.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you did.
So I think tonight, if Miami's going to put them away, it has to be tonight.
Sure, yeah.
Because if they go back to Boston, Boston home record is unbelievable. There's just no way.
What did you think? What have you seen, Seth?
Well, I think history is going to be made tonight. I think, Boston is going to win tonight.
Okay.
And they're going to take the series.
Thank you.
I don't see the momentum. I don't see the – I just don't see the guns left. I don't see the guns. I don't see somebody that said, "Well, hey, this guy's gonna do a great job tonight. He's gonna be back to himself."
Yeah.
You only got Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Jimmy,
12-round fight.
Miami goes as Jimmy goes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's true. Corey, have you had a chance to watch any of this?
Yeah, I've been watching. I think Boston, I think, may have come in with the thought that this was going to be an easy series.
Exactly.
And got caught, like you said, using the boxing analogy with a couple of punches. But at the end of the day, you see this in football and tournaments all the time. Sometimes it's just a team's time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that we are going to see something historical, but I think it's going to be a team like Miami winning, going to the finals without all their pieces. And once they get there, they get Tyler Hero and a couple of guys back. I don't think Jimmy's going to allow.
Are you picking Miami?
I'm picking Miami.
Ah, there we go.
I don't think that's you know, I'm going to step on the field with the Ray Lewis, and I don't care who we got. You know what I'm saying? If you got guys going to do their part, in teams, and this ain't anything that you're in, any type of corporations or whatever, when you got the right leadership and people that are willing to do whatever it takes, you can do things that people don't think you can do. And I think, on paper, Boston, but what I do love about Boston, what's their coach's name? I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
You know, they asked him how he was able to sleep, you know, being down, was that 0-3, right?
0-3.
Being down 0-3, and they're going to have to do something historic in order to go to the next level. So either way, I think it'll be a historical thing. But, you know, one of the things he said is, you know, when you meet, he met three young ladies that were under 21 that had terminal cancer. And they were asking him, well, how do you sleep with this pressure? And this, he's like, you know, this is not pressure.
No.
This is not life. This is a job. This is a game. This is entertainment. And so what I really appreciated is that a guy like that brings a calm in situations that are pressure.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's a rookie coach.
Well, yeah.
He's a rookie coach.
And throughout this, Corey, and guys, we were talking about was he you know, he's a 34-year-old, he's a rookie coach, and we were talking about Mazzullo. Is he being outcoached? You know, it's interesting to me, I don't know if you remember this, but after they lost game three and they're down 3-0, Mazzullo put all the responsibility on him. He said, I didn't have him prepared. I didn't have him ready. You know, he took all this responsibility, and he took a lot of backlash for that, for saying that, because most people were saying, well, why in the world, you're at this level, you're at this point of the season, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, how in the world can you not have your team prepared? But was it a psychological thing that he was playing with his players?
It has to be psychological. Yeah. You have a thing that we say in sports, and you know this, coaches call plays, players make plays.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, he can get you gassed up and psyched up, but had you prepared all week, but if you go and stay out 48 hours before the game, you out all night, you drinking or you doing whatever, or you're not thinking about the game, or you're not watching film, or you're not getting the rest that you could get. No, coaches call plays, players make plays.
Yeah, that's right.
And at
that's
the end
right.
of the day, no matter what play a coach draws up between timeouts, players have to go out and execute.
That's right.
You know, planning is one thing. Execution is a totally another
thing. Well, it is. And football, and to me, football, and there's similarities there. But in basketball, you can do a lot of different things on your own as a player. Like a Tatum and a Brown can kind of walk out there and say, yeah, I know coach this, hey, but let's run this. You know, it's a little more loose, I think, in terms of, you know, the players making plays, where some of those guys, you know, I know in football, running back can go to the quarterback or go to the coach and say, give me the ball, or, you know, the infamous give me the deep ball.
Right.
You know, I get that. Right. But in basketball, it just feels a little bit different, where, you know, you can ad-lib a little bit and go a long way. Here's what I think we're seeing to summarize this series. I think what you're seeing is the 2 seed is the 2 seed now, and the 8 seed is the 8 seed. I mean, okay. Pardon me, 7 seed. So because Miami was the 7 seed, not the 8 seed. There was 7 seed. But I think what we're seeing is, as I said last week, Miami is a 7 seed. You're a 2 seed. You're not supposed to lose to a 7 seed. Sometimes it happens, but I think now what we're seeing with the injuries and where the 2 wins by Boston, and now it's 3-2. I'm going to call it. I know you guys have called it. I'm going to say Boston wins the game on Memorial Day and wins the series 4-3 and moves on to play the Denver Nuggets. So that's my 2 cents. And those Denver Nuggets, as we're moving on to the Western Conference, are just chilling. Chilling like a villain, aren't they?
Nine days off. And that may not be a good thing.
Well, it might not be, because we've seen that in the past. But, you know, boy, I said this before, too. I never have ever, I mean, maybe go back to the Alex English days with the Denver Nuggets. Whoa. Maybe I watched a Denver Nuggets game back then. But I never sat down this season or any season in recent seasons to sit down and watch the Denver Nuggets. And when I did and watched them with my Lakers, they're very good. The Joker is no joke, and Jamal Murray is the real deal. They're the real deal to me, aren't they, guys? I mean, good gracious,
yes,
they can ball. They can ball. LeBron, he's gone, he's out again, and now we sit here again, probably for the last several years, of wondering. He's making statements of, I'm going to see if I want to play. Listen, LeBron, and I know you don't care that I'm going to say this. Okay, you just had your son sign up and commit to University of Southern California, which isn't very far away from where you live. You aren't going anywhere, and you're going to play with the Lakers. And someday soon, I believe we're going to see Bronny and LeBron play together. That's what I see. I don't see LeBron. Do any of you see LeBron not playing anymore all of a sudden?
He'll be 41, won't he?
Yeah.
By the time his son
comes in, if he's one and done. You just never know, though. Yeah. I think between injury and life happening, barring that, that's his goal, to be able to play a year with his son.
Mm-hmm.
But you just never know. I mean, he's been playing professional basketball with all of the pressure, with all of the energy that comes with being the chosen one, the king, holding up to that, holding everything on his back everywhere he goes. And I think there's a dad is kicking in now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
yeah.
I would love to play with you, but I would also love to step back and not have to have any energy. But
right.
You know, yeah. That,
no,
that,
I,
that
I think yeah, I think his competitive side is going to keep him there. Again, he's not going to miss USC games. But I'm a UCLA guy, LeBron. So I'm very, very ready. My Bruins will be. Hey, listen, we got to take a break. Again, this is the League Talk Sports Talk Show sponsored by Nashville Toyota North. On the other side, we're going to talk about Ja Morant and his situation that increased to levels that I'd never really expected it to, and now maybe we've come to expect it. So we'll see you on the other side. I see you out there. We'll see you on the other side. We're having some fun. Hey, we're having some fun here with Corey Harris. A 12-year NFL and Super Bowl champion. Hey, I do have a question for you, Corey.
Yes.
Some time ago, because I haven't seen you in a while, and I'm glad you're here. We'll connect more often, but you had sent me a photograph of you and Brett Favre and who was it? The defensive tackle. From
Reggie,
the Green Bay,
yeah, Reggie,
yeah, and
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. You know? And I thought that was a cool photo. When was that photo taken? Because you three and you were a captain with Favre and Reggie as captains. And I thought that's pretty doggone impressive.
Yeah, that was one of our playoff games. You know, they do that after you win. And I was a special teams captain. So a lot of times teams pick an offensive captain, a defensive captain, a special teams captain. Sometimes the coaches do it. In the playoffs, we typically the players did it. So, yeah, that was a pretty special picture when you talk about the memories that are attached to a blue blood in the NFL like Lambeau Field.
Yep.
In the Green Bay, city of Green Bay, and what football means to that city. So yeah, that was an awesome time. I think that we might have been playing the Detroit Lions, and I think Barry Sanders may have rushed for -1 yards rushing.
Yeah, you wow!
Check that out, Scott.
Wow.
Check that out. Maybe
we need the encyclopedia to check that out.
I would check it out. Yeah. -1.
Yeah,
I think it was. I think he had -1 yards rushing. Maybe not. It was pretty low, though.
Wow. Well, but, I mean, wow. You know, you think about athletes, Corey, and you obviously reached a pinnacle. Winning a Super Bowl is and playing for as long as you did in the NFL, and you know the pressure of players, pressure on all athletes, whether it be youth, high school. To me, it's greater than it's ever been, and I think we're seeing a lot of that with what's going on with Ja Morant. And I hate to see it. I mean, I hate to see it. Something's not right, you know, and more stories continue to pour out over the last week with Ja Morant. And now, you know, I read this, and listen, before I preface this by saying, listen to me, I understand gun violence, okay? I understand, you know, situations with guns, especially in our country, and recent events and things of that sort, even here in Nashville. So I have empathy for that, you know, and that just shouldn't be happening. You know, but, you know, I'm looking at these strippers here in Denver that now have come out and are calling Ja Morant, he's just a boy, you know, and kind of digging his name even deeper. And they were saying they were terrified. And I'll be honest. I mean, if I'm hanging out and chilling with any of you guys or anybody else and somebody starts whacking out a gun, I'm out. Okay, because I'm sorry, I accidentally shot you. That's not going to happen with me. I'll pass. But, you know, they came out and said, the strippers saying that they were terrified and all that stuff in the midst of Ja Morant dropping over $50,000, you know, and now they're demanding this apology from Ja, and, you know, he dropped $50,000. I mean, listen to me. If somebody's whacking around a gun out there, I'm calling the cops. I mean, I'm not saying I'm just terrified, but they were collecting C notes. C notes is slang for $100 bill. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I hate to see what's that?
Ben Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, George is. I hate it that he went through, that he's going through this, and then just a few days ago. It came out that Ja post on his Instagram account. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he posts on his Instagram account four photos, and one was of his parents and another one of, I believe, his daughter or something. I couldn't remember what they were, but the point is he posted these on there, and then he put bye, B-Y-E, exclamation point. And people got concerned about it. And I think it was Thursday when they actually sent a welfare check to Ja Morant's home to check on him, in which they found that he was fine and he said he was fine. But guys, what's going on here with Ja Morant and how, you know, Corey, you've done things that the four of us haven't. You've been in the league, one of the leagues. You've been playing at a high level. I mean, he's got a $140 million contract that's sitting out there. Nike just pulled back his shoe. I mean, what's going on here, guys? I mean, what are we thinking?
I think it's more about the life thing. One, and I relate this to war. If you send a soldier to war but don't prepare them for the situation that they're headed for, but you know what they're headed for, that's the first problem. So you're sending somebody to a space and you know that they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not surrounding them with the insulation, the leadership, the team. I think his dad almost got in a fight with Shannon Sharp at some point.
Yeah, so, he did. Sure did.
You know, you have to step out. And not knowing all the details about all of the sides of it, you know, again, you're talking about that pressure. You know, as an athlete or not, growing up, life is decision making.
Exactly.
And so at the end of the day, there are choices, decisions, and consequences. And I don't think, you know, with guns being legal, the biggest thing about this is what you said, Coach. It's like where I'm from and where he's claiming to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't pull out what they call a stick. You don't pull out the stick unless you don't up it unless you're gonna use it. And when you play around with it, somebody gets hurt. And so now, simply by all these things, you've put yourself in a situation where people can take it even more advantage of you. So you're losing these other things.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if these women don't turn around and come back with some civil suit that has to be settled out of court. So, you know, I don't necessarily believe that time away from these organizations is the way to handle players that are going through things or players that are making bad decisions. But then again, at some point, a guy has the opportunity to make the right decision and they just feel invincible.
Yeah. I mean, and he's 23 years old. In August, he's turning 24 years old. Just a young man. That, you know, I hate to see it. I hate to see it for Ja Morant. I hate to see it for the Memphis Grizzlies and their organization, you know, where they had trusted in this guy. And then all of a sudden, that's not the only incident there in Denver. There was another incident after that, you know, wielding a gun again that was deleted after the video was posted. And then it was deleted. And then, you know, the incident with a fight, you know, playing pickup basketball. I mean, all these things, something happened in a Walmart park. All these things are compiling to where we should, you know, be very, very worried. And you said something interesting, Corey, that, you know, and I think you were referring to a suspension where, you know, maybe that's not the best thing to send him away from the people he's closest to. I mean, so what are the consequences? There has to be some level of consequence. And now the other side of this, guys, is I've read a lot of this, and, you know, the other people are saying, you know, people out there in general, well, you know, he's allowed to have a gun. Well, no, he's not. Not in the NBA. You can't be doing that stuff. And that's not normal to just be, you know, to be showing a gun. So what should consequences be in this particular situation?
Well, one, they have to follow whatever the laws are, unless they're going to set some type of precedent. You know, the fact is that if it wasn't illegal for what he was doing, it may have been not good for the corporate brand or whatever it is. Exactly. So however the corporate brand feels, but as a person, you know, it's amazing that these corporations and different organizations, you get millions and billions of dollars. And as soon as you get something that's spot on your image based on what somebody does, you want to distance yourself
from. Yeah.
And so I think it has to come from both ends. I think you want to correct what's going on. When he's 23, I don't even want us to talk about what we were doing when we was 23 or 24. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if you had – and I know myself, you know what I'm saying?
We were broke back then.
And I just got from being broke fresh out of Bible study to Houston by myself with, you know, $300,000, $400,000 in the bank and never had a bank account at all. So, you know, when your life changes like that, when you go from being able to be a kid, right, and nobody knows who you are. He was in Murray State.
Murray State,
to – here
yeah.
with all the money and social media.
Yeah.
If anybody had a camera on them 24/7, what Ooh. Would the outcome be?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, I think we got one, me as a believer in Jesus Christ and the Father, I believe that people have to pray for him.
Yes.
That he gets in a space where he can follow the right path, because some of these things are not illegal. It's right. more about the
That's
brand
right.
and responsibility as a man. So, man, I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Got to pray for him. He'll make it through. He got $200 million. They take $30 million. He'll still be okay. Yeah. So he just has right. to deal with it.
And you hope he matures.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. And,
yeah.
and I think one major thing is he has to change the crowd you run around. You have to. I mean, it's okay to have your boys, no doubt. But when once your boys start putting you in a situation where it's affecting you, you have to look at your surroundings and make some decisions. Okay, because if let's say, for instance, Corey's my guy. We hang out. He goes to the league. I can't do anything. If he's my guy, I do everything to protect him. I don't bring any type of, you know, things like the waving the gun and the video or showing that. I think a lot of them have to change who they surround themselves with.
Yep.
And you know, I know somebody who played in the NFL.
Yep.
And one thing he told me was, and it was so true, he said, man, you got to watch your family and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. And back then, they made good money back then. Mm-hmm. But now these guys are making money I never thought I would
see. It is. And, you know, hey, listen, all we can really do, and Grizzly fans and the organization and basketball fans, is just pray for Ja.
Yeah.
You know, pray for and I'm going to ask you guys a question here in the fastest 5 minutes of sports as we start to close out in a little bit that I'm very interested to hear what you have to say, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But on to positive things. You know what today is, right, guys? What I know it's Saturday, okay? And that's not a trick question, but you know what today is, right?
What day is?
Thanks for asking, Corey. It is one step closer and one day closer to the start of the NFL season, gentlemen. And I had mentioned earlier that I was in a lull watching football from 2004. I don't care if it's the old USFL from back in the day or it's the European NFL League from way back in the day. I will watch it and get excited. Oh, and I'm excited because the OTAs have started,
yes.
which are voluntary, and most of the Titan players did show up and were there to be a part of the OTAs, which I think it's always important. I've watched lots of video clips, guys, on Will Levis, and, man, he looks sharp. He looks physical. He looks big. He looks strong. And I'm super excited about what they're doing there. And, you know, only a couple relevant players missed out there on the OTAs, so I'm excited to see everybody participating there. And then I did see this note. This is a kind of a fun note, guys, where our guy Burks, who I'm saying it right now, and you heard it here first. Anybody can write it down out there. He's going to be a Pro Bowler this year for the Tennessee Titans. But it's funny that he almost did not make it, Corey, to the OTAs on time.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, that was crazy. So those of you that hadn't heard, he was in Arkansas, I believe, and had a flight to get over here to Nashville that was delayed, that would not put him here until 9 a.m. on Monday morning. And OTAs started at 8 a.m. So he reached out to his agent. Him and his agent tried to figure out different ways. They were going to, you know, here, just take my car kind of thing. And then they start, well, you know, once the car gets there, how are we going to get the car back? I mean, all these things. So they started calling private pilots and finally found one, a little tiny itty-bitty plane that this guy, the coach, would never step into in a million years. But Burks did. And, you know, this guy said, just pay me the gas money in this little tiny Cessna to get me to OTAs. And I don't know for sure if he made it by 8 a.m., but he made it. What did you think about that when you read that, Ooh. Corey?
I would have been driving.
I would have
been driving. I'd have paid a driver. I'd have been sleeping in the back. And we had a situation like this during 9/11 when all flights were shut down at the time. My wife at the time before she passed, she had cancer, and I was coming back and forth from Baltimore every weekend to be with her. And of course 9/11 takes place, right. And they were trying to decide if we were gonna still play, I guess, that weekend in NFL. Correct. And I think we might have missed a game or 1 week. But at any rate, I had to get in the car. They sent a town car and drove from Nashville to Baltimore. And when I tell you, I woke up and it's the middle of the night. My driver is about to drive off the edge of a mountain. He was about 80 years old. I was just like, I can't take this. No. My anxiety. I said, I'm going to just sleep. I might wake up in heaven, but I'm just going to. So,
I might wake up in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do what you got to do to get sometimes. And, you know, they don't play that them deadlines. I've had several hefty fines for not being where I was supposed to be when they wanted me there. So,
well, I mean, it's good to see, right? It shows the discipline. You know, we talked about Ja as a young man trying to find his way right now and struggling. Then we go to Treylon, and he figured out a way to get there. And that shows some level of responsibility and commitment to the team,
especially
doesn't it?
From 180 from last year.
Yeah.
You know, coming in, what they considered out of shape or not knowing the environment or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But to be going to the extremes to get where you need to be is definitely a good sign, if nothing else.
It is. So that's a good sign for our Titans guys, and I'm excited for them. They're going to be one of my surprise picks. They're actually going to be my surprise picks in the AFC. I know other people in this room are saying that Cleveland something, but we'll get to that in a second.
The Cleveland Stains.
Hey, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Come on, Corey. Come on, man. We boys. Come on, Corey.
No, during the break, Corey started imitating, as the encyclopedia over there, Randall was saying, it's the Browns, and Corey started imitating how they're going to make their bags that go over their heads this season. So, you know, flashing back to that. But, hey, I do have something that's interesting. And that is a player that was released yesterday in DeAndre Hopkins, gentlemen. I mean, potential Titan?
No.
They're going to be scared.
Thank you.
Do not be scared. Do not be scared. You know why they're going to be scared?
Why?
Because they have a history of organizational changing with decision-making with older guys. But Julio Jones is no DeAndre Hopkins.
No,
and not from an athletic standpoint.
Right.
But if you just look how they've went, and I'm not trying to pull Julio down, but DeAndre Hopkins, let me tell you something. That's what you want. If you want your guys to know how you go about your job on a daily, that's what you want in the room.
Well, see, here's the thing, though, Corey. This is Producer Nick, by the way.
Oh, hey, Producer Nick.
Producer Nick.
Now, the thing I want to ask you is that, you know, with the Titans, you have DeAndre Hopkins, and is the price tag going to be too much for him? Because they're already in a salary cap, you know, little constraint there. Is that going to be an issue if they were to pursue him?
What do the Titans need to take it to the next level?
A lot of things, Corey. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right. Well, I mean, but what is one of the number one? Now, me, I wouldn't have drafted a quarterback in the second round, right?
Right.
Especially a quarterback, you don't know how he's going to pan out just based on a couple years. I would have went line, because if you can draft guys going to play 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you need a line for your quarterback. It don't matter how great Tannehill is, no matter what kind of decisions he want to make, if he's not protected, him or anybody,
right,
it's a wrap. So all things aside, the most important thing is the interior line, period, offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was settled, you need somebody that can get people out of the box.
Right.
We'll just double Treylon Burks.
You also have Kyle Phillips that's coming off injury. So, like, there are some question marks.
Kyle Phillips is coming off injury. What did he do last year?
He had, I think, two games he played that were decently healthy. But, the times he did play.
And that is what gives people hope. It's potential.
Right.
As my coach used to tell me, potential and 75 cents can only get you a coat.
I mean, hey, that's true.
You feel what I'm saying? So, it's like we talk about how teams are going to step up in the draft. The draft is about potential. I'd rather have a veteran
proven
that has lost a step than a rookie that has never taken a step.
Well, to your point, Corey, this was in 9 games last year with the Cardinals. We're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. 9 games. So I don't know about losing a step when you have 65 receptions for 717 yards at 11.2 average and scoring 3 touchdowns. So I don't know. I think and I've been a coach a long, long time. If I see a player out there like this, I'm getting him. I'm doing what I have to do to get him, because they did pick up 2 offensive linemen in the draft, and I think one, maybe both, but at least one are going to be a starter this year and shore up the left side of the line. And I mean, just looking at DeAndre Hopkins, so 2021, 42 receptions, he was injured. 42 receptions, 572 yards, 8 touchdowns, averaging 13.6. You know, and then you go the year before that, just 3 years ago, guys, 115 receptions for 1,407 yards. His average, he has over 11,000 receiving yards and over 800 catches with 71 touchdowns.
I mean, hey, those are great numbers. The thing that I'm worried about the most is that, you know, the Titans brought in Julio a couple years ago. We all saw what happened with his hamstrings. They were paper. They legit cut up like paper.
But that was historical for him. That was a regular thing.
Right. But then if you look at DeAndre Hopkins, he's had some hamstring issues. That's just me as a Titans fan perspective. That's what worries me. And, like, I'm with you on the like, you know, Kyle Phillips and the production. Possibly there's that potential. With D-Hop, there's all that potential. And I know before the draft, there was a lot of speculation on possibly trading for D-Hop for the Titans. But the thing is for me is that was the Titans' opportunity to get him, because now you have to worry about, well, D-Hop's now a free agent. The ball's in his court. His price tag is whatever. That's my only problem. That's my issue.
And he may look at it as when you're a free agent, the good thing is you can look beyond the numbers. He got money. Yeah. Right. Now he's looking and saying, okay, you got Treylon Burks that can take the top off. You got a guy like Kyle Phillips that can move the chains and make some things happen. Now you got these three guys. You got the tight end there. So now, as a player, I'm looking at it. If I'm D-Hop, I'm like, okay, I got young speed over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all going to have to choose to double team me or him. You got the king in the backfield.
Yep.
And then you got the running back, Tulane, who is a dog.
He's good.
So I think if – the Titans, I wish they had done this with A.J. Brown. They can do it with Treylon. Is one, they talk about multiplicity and versatility. Mike Vrabel has how many touchdowns?
Two.
Yeah, so.
Look it up and see. I think it's more than two or three, I think.
Well, there's a creativity to the Titans. There is a connection to DeAndre Hopkins, the offense coordinator. Has coached DeAndre Hopkins before. So there's a connection.
How many touchdowns? I'm sorry, coach.
10.
Has 10 touchdowns, right? So what that means is if we start using the player's talent in the way of versatility, like Derrick Henry is how big?
Big.
All right. He can catch
big
flat routes. He can catch option routes.
Yeah, arrow routes, everything.
Look, you need to be able to move him at the tight end spot. You got – Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips, Treylon Burks and D-Hop and Chigwa and Henry. Like, you get players that can do multiple things, which is what we did, what we drafted in Skoronski, I think it is, who can play multiple positions because now you take different pressure off. And now you got Henry and Robinson in the backfield.
Right, and what's happened to the Titans, and I think injuries have a little bit to do with this, but to me they became incredibly predictable.
Yes.
I mean, it was 1, 2, 3, you know, run.
It's been that for years.
It's been that for years. Mm-hmm. But we also have to say that that's also being successful, because it wasn't just a couple of years ago that they had the best record in the AFC and home field throughout the playoffs and got beat in the first round. Why? Well, probably because they were predictable. Listen, a team that continues to do the same thing, like I said, if this 20 years of coaching, if I watch film and a team just continues to do the same thing over and over and over again, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to smack them. And they're not going to beat me, because you're doing the same thing over. And so I want to see what you're talking about, Corey, with the Titans this year. I want to see flex adjustments in their formations. Let's get creative. Let's start using what we've got. But this is the fastest 5 minutes of sports, guys, so this is the last 5 minutes of the show, and I've got some questions. You got to answer them quick because we don't have a lot of time. But, hey, great show so far, guys. Great, great show. Fast 5 minutes of sports. Here's a question for you. What former NBA player should reach out to help Ja Morant?
John Lucas.
John Lucas, why?
John Lucas had a bunch of problems in the NBA. He admitted his drug problem, came back. He's a good mentor. I've seen him mentor guys before and kind of help him get back on track. I think he can relate to Ja. I think he can.
I say Kareem.
Allen Iverson.
AI.
Yeah, that was mine. Allen Iverson was the same. And I was at my work. We were having discussions there. I think he's the guy. So who's going to make the call to get AI?
Corey.
Corey, nah, make the call. You know, and then you got that millennial old school gap, which is something that irks me in sports, to see the old heads not accept the changes that happen in games, to accept there's a difference. You know, Magic didn't have cameras on him all the time. Michael didn't have cameras on him all the time.
Right.
AI, to me, is really the closest that connected with a whole different culture.
He
in
sure
terms
did.
Of hip-hop and in sports and found his way through it.
Practice.
You know, he
practice.
Found his way
not,
through it.
Not a game. Not a game.
Not a game. You mean practice?
Practice.
I love that video. It's on YouTube if you can't find it. Here's another question, Fast 5 Minutes of Sports. What chance? Well, this is a good question, Greg. Good job, Coach, for writing it down. Ready for this? What chance does Will Levis have to start opening day for the Titans? And I'm going to give you the opponent. My Los Angeles Chargers, September 17th, 12 o'clock kickoff. What chance does Will Levis have to start opening day?
No.
If everybody's healthy?
If everybody's healthy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, you know what I'm going to give you right now? I'm going to give you a percentage chance, and this could increase as we move into training camp. 50-50 shot right now.
50-50 shot to do what?
Corey, don't open those eyes at me like that. It's a 50-50 shot to start for the Titans opening day, September 17th.
I wouldn't put my future on the field this year.
2%.
Now, if I have to go to the fandom in me, being that I'm a lightning bolt, bolt up, right, I would say you don't want to put a rookie up against that Chargers defense with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa on the other end and Derwin James blitzing from everywhere. I'd be like, Coach, I know you want me to start opening day. I'm going to pass. Put Malik in.
Man.
Malik can start for me. Well, all right, here we go.
Willis now. Willis has the most interceptions last year in the SEC. So, you know, everybody's wishing he come on and do his thing, but he wasn't.
You mean
that.
Levis?
Levis.
Levis.
Yeah. Levis. Right. Yeah. I mean, he threw 14 interceptions. I mean.
He reminds me of Brett Favre, actually, though.
Does he?
Yeah.
I can see that.
That kind of confidence in his arm. And throwing. He has the arm and he'll put it in there. So that's the opposite of what Mariota was in terms of letting the ball go.
Right.
So you know, I'm looking forward to him growing. I think they need to do what they did with Steve McNair.
Yeah.
By the way, sidebar note, as we got to close it out, Corey, I didn't interrupt, but hey, rumor has it DeAndre Hopkins either to one of these three teams, Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, or Detroit Lions. So there is rumor out that I just got it on my phone. So you heard it here first. There may have been rumors yesterday. But also, I'm excited, man, about you, Corey, being back in the fold. I'm excited about sports. We are one more day closer to the football season. Woo, woo! And I'm going to go home tonight. We're going to watch those. I actually have something to watch tonight in my sports lounge. That is the Boston Celtics, Miami Heat, 7:30 tonight or something like that. I will be eating my popcorn and having some fun and maybe have a beverage or two.
Have a fried bologna. But,
I ain't doing fried bologna, but hey,
mustard.
This is the League Sports Talk Show. We are your first responders to sports. And happy Memorial Weekend. Just enjoy the weekend. We'll see you soon.